We are glad to greet you again this morning in Jesus' name. Count a privilege once more to gather into the house of God where Jesus is in the midst. Jesus said, I go to the Father, but when I go, I will send a comforter, the Holy Spirit, unto you. But this morning, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit's all one. So in essence, Jesus is still standing in the midst of the church this morning. He's moving among the benches. He's moving around among his people. I'm glad this morning that he is with me. It's a solemn responsibility to stand and break the bread of life to a group of people. And I'm just glad that God is here this morning. I'd like to talk about fidelity this morning. What is fidelity? Well, it's a faithfulness, it's steadfastness, it's an exactness. These are synonyms for it. Allegiance, loyalty, devotion. When we think of, in a past generation, when we had the records, probably most of the young ones don't know anything about except you see them at a sale or in grandma's rack. They made them to produce a sound that people were singing. That was not always was very clear. The old 78s was really scratchy. But they kept improving till the long play came and that was better. And then finally the records went out and you had other types of recorded music that you could listen to. But people kept working to improve the quality of the music. To the point today they want the exact impression of what it sounds like in your real life. In other words, just as it was produced, and it sounds that way. We can listen to the Lebanon chorus, our own courses, our own children's school programs and whatnot. And it pretty well sounds just like it was recorded. This morning, as we think of fidelity, it's a text verse. You can turn with me to Titus chapter 2. I'm going to be looking at turning to the Old Testament then in the book of Judges. Titus 2:10. This is the only place where fidelity is found in the New Testament, at least in this form. It is found in other forms, but not the word. Titus 2:10 says, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Now, not purloining is that you're not to keep back something that really doesn't belong to you. This morning, we're here to worship God this morning. And if there's anything else in your mind other than thinking of the Word of God and Jesus Christ, what he's done for you and the glory and the majesty of all that he has, if there's other things in your mind, then you're keeping back something that belongs to God. Ananias and Sapphira were purloining when they kept back part of the price of the property they had sold. But he says, but showing all good fidelity, good trustworthiness, that we may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. I'm going to read the next few verses. I hadn't really thought about that. But for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now I'll go back to the book of Judges a little bit. Judges is an interesting book to read. It is a terrible book to read. It is a sad book to read. Because God's people went up and down from valley to mountaintop, back to valley again, over and over and again. But out of the book of Judges, there's a number of things that have come out. Some of the tremendous Bible stories. Gideon. Our children learn about Gideon early in life. He is a tremendous character. He's a man that had his battle whittled down to just 300 men. He's a man that laid the fleeces out. We know that. And all of those things. And then with only sword and trumpets. Or not swords and trumpets. Pitchers and trumpets. God had him destroy and defeat the Midianite army. Samson was a man that was raised up to begin to deliver the children of Israel from the Philistines. And we can read through the exploits of Samson carrying the posts of the gates on his shoulder to the top of the mountain. Strong man that did the Lord's will. And somehow or other he got into trouble. But again, the Lord spoke to his heart and he came to God and gave his heart again. And in his death he slew more people than he did in his life. Now, this morning, Judges is men who had the heart of iron but feet of clay. They were strong to do some things in their hearts, but they never had quite the courage to do them. There's a number of tribes we could refer to, but you can turn with me actually to the first chapter of Ruth. Now, this is a Judges book. It says in the first verse, it says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. Now that the judges ruled, but they didn't rule, because the scripture says a number of places through Judges that every man did what's right in his own eyes. There was no common law, there was no authority, there was no central place of worship. And men did that which was right in their own eyes. Fidelity is like the music I was talking about, or like making coins. You press it into a mold. This morning, God is trying to press us into a mold. Did you ever try to put something in a box that was too big for the box, and you couldn't quite get it in, and just the lid wouldn't go shut, or it kept pushing out or something? That's what God is doing with us this morning. He's trying to press us into a mold so that we are proper representatives of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to look at some characters this morning in the book of Ruth that I believe represent to us people that were willing to be pressed into a mold. They was willing to deny themselves something, and some that didn't want to do that. Elimelech was the wife of Naomi. And he's a man who didn't live up to his name. His name means "My God is King." But when times got tough, Elimelech decided to go into the land of Moab. He only went to sojourn there, but he died there. Naomi says when she came back, and when she left, she said, I went out full and came back empty. Now that's, from a woman's perspective, evidently Elimelech thought there would be better things on the other side, but to Naomi, it didn't turn out that way. But Naomi was one that kept back nothing. She was willing to go with her husband to the land of Moab, not knowing what all would transpire there. She went out full and came home empty. I'd like to read the first chapter of Ruth. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, and he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpha, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years, and Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went out the way to return unto the Lord of the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to your mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with me, with the dead and with me. And the Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return unto thee, unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, and go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sake that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. She said, behold, thy sister-in-law is going back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go there, she left speaking unto her. So the two went unto them and came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? She said unto them, call me not Naomi, but call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. And I am a fool,
And the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and it came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. When I say that Naomi kept back nothing, she evidently lived her life, even though she was in the land of Moab, she lived it to the full in obedience to God and what she did. For Ruth to be willing to commit her life like she did to the children of Israel and to God and to Naomi. Evidently, Naomi had opened up to her daughters while they belonged to her the history of Israel. She opened up the truth, and she probably told them about the early life of down in Egypt, the Exodus, Canaan, Jericho, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all of them. You see, Naomi had already been pressed into Moab. She was, I don't believe she really approved of going to Moab, but she went there because her husband was going there. But she was ready to teach her daughters the things, her daughter-in-laws the things that was true and right about God. You know, it's not easy to make the commitment that Ruth made. She said, entreat me not to leave thee. Verse 16. Or return from falling after thee. You know, how would we respond if someone encouraged us to turn aside from the way of following God? Would there be real fidelity in my heart? That I would continue to press on in spite of what may have appeared to be against me? There are words that mean faith, and they are faith. Actually, fidelity is the root word, is faith. But Jesus, when the Syrophoenician woman came to her, wanted her daughter healed, and he wouldn't listen to her, he ignored her. And he finally told her that it wasn't right for him to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. But the woman said, yes, Lord. But the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus said, I have not found such fidelity. No, not in Israel. She was a woman, was committed to getting help for her daughter. And she knew Jesus could do it and she wouldn't be turned aside. She kept nothing back. She laid it all out. And Naomi did the same thing with Ruth. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. Don't ask me again not to leave thee or turn back from following thee. And she committed her life to Naomi. I believe somehow or other, Ruth understood the mighty God that Naomi was serving. I believe that's what Naomi had shown to her. And Ruth was committed to her. Orpha was not willing to give it all. She wanted some things back. But Ruth was one that would not keep anything back. She would not purloin. She was ready to go the whole way with Naomi, even though as a widow in the land of Israel, would have been tough, would have been hard for them. It was probably better for them there than what it would have been in the land of Moab. Allegiance and devotion, loyalty and steadfastness. When Ruth and Naomi got to the land of Israel, you see, already she knew that she was going to have to work for her living. And she said, well, let me go glean in the fields. See, Ruth was willing to give it all. She wasn't looking for a place of prestige or a place of honor. She didn't sit by the wayside and try to attract people's attention. But no, she went into the field to glean and work for a living for her mother and herself. And Ruth did not know everything that would transpire as we know it as we read the story. In fact, Naomi didn't even think about it. She was willing to live the life of a widow as well. And Boaz comes into the picture, and here's a man that it also was a man that was filled with integrity and willing to give it all. He belonged to God. He was not willing to hold back anything. He was not a man that purloined. He took care of people. I believe he was like Job, who he fed the widows and the orphans, and the people came to his door. He clothed them. What their needs were, he gave to them. I believe this man was the same way. He provided for people, and he was willing to reach out. It's also exactness. That's another word for fidelity. Exactness. In other words, we need to be diligent and persevering. And Boaz was a man of means, but he's also a man that made his rounds in the community, maybe to visit the widows. I'm not sure what all he did, but when he came back, when Ruth was there in the field gleaning, he noticed her. He already knew all about Ruth. He didn't know who she was, but he knew about Ruth. He had already gathered all the information about her and what she had done. Because when they told her who she was, the laborers, he said, she's the lady or the woman that come back with Ruth, Naomi from the land of Moab. And Boaz immediately went and talked to her and told her probably things that she didn't know, that he knew about where she come. He knew everything she had done for her mother-in-law. She knew how she felt about it, and he knew everything. He was exact in what he knew. He was pressed into the mold. He was willing to be pressed into the mold. He was willing to be brought into a mold that was true and right. And that's where we need to be. If we want to be a person of fidelity, if we want to be a person of steadfastness, earnestness. This morning the Lord is trying to press us into a mold. Disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. They were little Christ. You said they had already been pressed into a mold. The people knew they acted like Christ. You see,
Boaz fit into that mold, and Ruth was fitting into that mold. They were cutting off. Ruth had already cut off the things that surrounded her that she might have had in Moab or even had in Israel. She was fitting into the mold. I read the book of one man that he said Boaz fell in love with Ruth, but I don't think Boaz fell in love with Ruth. He chose her when he needed to. You see, Ruth had gleaned so much from the harvest that day that when she got back to Naomi, Naomi knew somebody had done more for her than normal. Because you don't glean that much grain in one day. But Boaz said, let her reap right up to the side. Let her reap right up amidst you and rebuke her not. In fact, he said, let some fall in purpose for her. She might pick it up. Boaz was an exact man. He was loyal to the truth. And moving on with the story, that Ruth finally listened to Naomi and went down to the threshing floor and laid down beside at the feet of Boaz. And when he awoke, she said, throw your garments over me. And he realized that what she was asking him to do was be that kinsman redeemer. But Boaz knew that he could not do that. He was exact. And he knew that it wouldn't be right for him to do that, because there was a closer kinsman than what Boaz was. And he told Ruth that I will go and I will take care of this thing as soon as daylight is here. And he did. And he went to the man that was the closest redeemer to redeem by Mahlon and Chilion, that actually belonged to Naomi, her land, and plus Ruth, the Moabitess. That kinsman redeemer was all excited when Boaz said, buy the land of Naomi. But when he says, today you buy the land of Naomi, you buy Ruth the Moabitess. And he said, I can't redeem it. See, that man was not ready to be pushed into a mold. That man was not ready to fit into a mold that represented truth. He couldn't do that. And so Boaz chose to take Ruth under his wings and marry her. And the man went away with one shoe, and the other one was gone. Fidelity is doing the right thing. We don't take privileges that don't belong to us. That is not fidelity. We talked this morning in the Sunday school lesson about Jesus' robes and the clothing that was on him. Brother Jaron said that clothing represents people. It shows what people are. Of course, the lack of clothes are the same thing. It shows what people are. But it puts a dignity to people, a fidelity to people that they otherwise may not even have, but at least they dress up. Look at the politicians. You always see them pretty well dressed up, dressed to the T. Dark shoes, black shoes, dark suits, white shirts. and usually a red and white or blue tie or something to match the flag of the United States. But they're dignified people. They have a dignity about them. They have a fidelity to them just because they represent people in the land of America. Boaz took Ruth as his wife and had a child, and it became the daughter of Naomi. I believe the fidelity that rings true in those characters as they move through the scenes of life. I believe Ruth was willing to do something that was beyond. She didn't have the promise of marriage. She would have been an outcast probably in the land of Israel, and she knew that. She would have no special place there. But God provided her a special place because of, I believe, the integrity and the fidelity of her own heart and her willingness to commit herself to an almighty God and to fit into the mold that God wanted her to fit into. This morning, where are we fitting into that mold? How are we fitting into that? Is God able to press us? Is he able to take some things away from us and to fit us into that mold, to shape us? You know, he wants us to appear identically just like him. He wants us to be little Christ. That means we crucify the flesh. It means we crucify our carnal nature. We cut off the things that are frivolous. It's not an easy job for us this morning. It's not one from easy for me to be pressed into a mold and shaped. But that's what God wants us to do. He's in the process of that. We go to Jeremiah and we see the man at the potter's wheel sitting there, molding it. That's what God wants us to do. He doesn't mold us all the same, but he molds us and he shapes us and makes us what he wants us to be. We all need that. I need it this morning. God wants us to be loyal to him. You know, loyalty is something that we need. What are we true to? You know, God has called us to faithfulness. He wants us to be steadfast. He wants us to be earnest. He wants us to make something out of us. He wants our allegiance. Like a slave. That's what we are this morning. We are slaves. Faithfulness and temptation, loyalty, devotion, zeal, fidelity. Fidelity to Christ. You know, unless our life is ringing true, we really do not have fidelity. Unless the world sees us. You know, the world will not condemn us for our doctrine or take doctrine and condemn our doctrine. No, they will condemn us because they don't see in us what they know Christ would want us to be. You know, it's what they see. And I'm sure Ruth's seen her mother do many things that she learned along the way. And you know, the world is looking on us this morning to see what we really are. If we are being pressed into that mold of being filled with fidelity, faithfulness, integrity to Christ Jesus. May the Lord help each one of you and myself as well. As we go through life, we face difficulties and trials. But there is a mold that Jesus is fitting us all into. Everything is not all the same. But God has brought into our experience, and he will bring into our experience things to shape us as molds if we're willing to fit into that mold. Otherwise, we go back to the Moabites. It's either yield or else. You know, the potter, when the pottery was spoiled, he had to crush it and start all over again. Maybe the Lord bless you as you go through the coming months and years with the things that you need to face as a congregation. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Let's kneel for prayer.